In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning picks up where we left off in our study of the book of Ruth. I'll begin reading in chapter 4, verse 14. Hear now the word of God. Then the women said to my pleasant one. Now remember, that's the Hebrew Naomi. So when you said Naomi in Hebrew, what you heard is my pleasant one. So then the women said to my pleasant one, blessed is Yahweh who has not left you without a family redeemer today. Indeed, may his name be proclaimed in Israel. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you that you are our Lord, our Creator, and our Sustainer. That the Almighty God of all creation that breathed out stars and by his breath formed planets is the God who knows each of us by name. You are the Lord who said, I am in you and with you, and that I will never fail you or forsake you. Lord, this morning, as each of us comes with burdens and with challenges, with fears and anxieties, Lord, remind us that every step of the way you're with us. Lord, as we come this morning with our brokenness, with the sins that we struggle with and with our weaknesses and those things that we do that we know are displeasing to you, that bring sorrow to us and misery to those around us. As we come, Lord, let us bow down low and bring them to the one place where they can be healed, and that's to the cross of Jesus, your Son. Let us come to the table this morning for that exchange, where we hand you our brokenness for you to bear, and in its place you hand us the receipt of our full salvation, the sacrifice made, the payment made, the healing provided. Lord, as we come, may we be reminded that it's not our imaginations, nor our thoughts, nor the inventions of man, nor even what we wish would be true, but it is who you are and who you tell us you are in your word. May we then come this morning to drink deeply from your word and to praise you that you are God, who holds us in your hands and never lets us go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, our text this morning continues our study of the book of Ruth. Notice then the story thus far. Boaz has redeemed, Ruth has conceived, and a child has been born. How do you like that? That was pretty fast, right? Boaz is redeemed, Ruth is conceived, and a child has just been born. However, notice the surprise. After last week in verse 13's announcement of birth, we will not see Boaz and Ruth again. Their part in the account is fulfilled. Instead, for the remainder of the book of Ruth, our focus will be on Naomi. Now, why is that? Because there's something incredible about the very heart of God's love and God's salvation that we all need to see. And it begins in our text this morning as we watch Naomi being presented with her newborn grandson for the very first time. Listen. Then the women said to my pleasant one. Notice at once verse 14 opens by telling us that the women spoke to Naomi. Now this is important. Why? Because notice who these women are. First of all, these are not just random women who happen to be hanging around. Instead, the definite article, so notice it says, then the women spoke. The definite article indicates that these are specific women who we should recognize because we have seen them over and again throughout the account. In other words, these are the very townswomen who greeted Naomi when she returned with Ruth from Moab way back in chapter 1. Not only that, it is these women who heard and then relayed Naomi and Ruth's story throughout all the village so that Boaz, his field manager, and everybody else in town knew the story. Why? Because it was the women who had told it. The women let everybody know this amazing thing that was going on. We've met these women before. And this is important. Why? Because verse 14 opens by showing us that these very same women have accepted Ruth and have come with joy to assist with the birth of her son. These are not women who are going around bad-talking Ruth. Or Naomi. These are not women who are going on and gossiping in the town. They begin to realize what God has done, and it has filled them with wonder. And now they have truly accepted Ruth and have rejoiced in what God is doing, and now are there to assist with the birth of her son. In other words, they have embraced and are an active part of what God has done and is doing in their very midst. And so notice the point. Verse 14 quietly reminds me, it demonstrates or shows me that in the women's attitude and actions, God's people, both then and now, are to find our own attitude and actions regarding the work of God. That is, we are to embrace with joy and take an active part in the things around us that please God, that are according to His word, and that glorify His name. And so we're not to be nonchalant. We're not to, you know, like so oftentimes we come to church and we try to sign up for what's the easiest or the least intrusive. Or we stand idly by in workplaces or wherever we are, and we know God is nudging us to be a part of the kingdom work that we read about over and over again in every page of Scripture. And yet we remain silent because we're more concerned with people liking us than them liking Jesus. Okay? But here this attitude shows us that when we see God's hand at work, when we see things that are according to God's word and that specifically glorify His name. Now listen, I'm not talking about everything that comes and presents itself to you in some grandiose signs and wonders, because a lot of times that's a shenanigan. I'm talking about things that bear true fruit. That bear fruit that remain, that are lasting. That our hearts should be eager, like a little kid on the bench. Coach, put me in. Send me in the game. I want to be a part of what you're doing. The women remind us of that. In their attitude, in their actions, we see what is to be our own attitude and actions. We are to rejoice and embrace what God is doing around us and take an active, be an active part of it. Next, notice the occasion of verse 14 and this conversation with Naomi. If verse 13, the verse before, if it just told us that Ruth gave birth to a son, then verse 14 picks up the account as the women come out of the birthing room carrying the child that has just been born. So Ruth has just given birth, and now the doors open, and the women who were there assisting with the birthing process, now they come out of the room, and they're carrying this newborn child. Not only that, they come out with the child in order to specifically present him to Naomi. That is their singular or principal objective. They come out specifically to bring that child to Naomi. Notice then, they speak directly or exclusively to Naomi. They don't come out of the room and make an announcement to everybody who's in the room. They don't come out and talk to everybody and eventually get to Naomi. They come out and head straight to Naomi, and they're talking to her. Now, this is important. Why? Because in all likelihood, Boaz would have been there anxiously awaiting the birth of his son. Boaz is there. If he wasn't there, we would expect Scripture to tell us he wasn't there, because there would be something out of character or there would be something going on. Okay? Boaz is there. But notice, the author has shifted his focus specifically to Naomi and is quiet about Boaz. Boaz would have likely been there awaiting the birth of his son. Not only that, normally Boaz, as the father, would have been the focus of this presentation. So, remember over and again, let me call a timeout. Remember over and again, I tell you to listen to Scripture. Okay, listen to Scripture. And this is a good case. When there is something that's out of the ordinary, when something happens that's unusual, or that just doesn't seem right, like Boaz is there. Yeah, he's there. It's his son being born. He'd be in big trouble for the rest of his life. Oh, you're late again, just like you were to the birth of your own child. Yeah, it would be forever. I've read a meme that was like Methuselah lived for 730 years. And for, 680 of those, his wife reminded of the thing that he did way back, 1,500 years ago. But anyway, so Boaz is there, but yet they pass right by him and hand it to Ruth. That doesn't seem right. And so we need to stop. When something doesn't seem right in Scripture, it's usually at that point that the Holy Spirit is about to show you, that God's Word is about to show you something unexpected, something that you didn't know, something that's new to you about your Heavenly Father. And so the author has drawn your attention in that something's not right. Something's out of place here, so that he has your full attention. So case in point, when the people stand up and say, for a wedding blessing, may your house be like the house of Judah and Tamar, we should all be going, well, that is the most messed up wedding blessing. What's wrong? And think about what we learned from that. Okay? So notice here, something's out of place. Why? Well, according to the Levirate law of redemption, Elimelech would have been counted as the legal father, and thus the first one presented with the child. However, Elimelech is dead, and so thus the whole book of Ruth and the whole thing about kinsman redeemer. Therefore, as we have seen over and again throughout a book that is all about legal transactions, Naomi is the matriarch and acting head or acting authority of the family. We've seen that over and again, and at key points, we've seen that. And so remember, Naomi is the head and acting head and matriarch of the family, commands her daughters to return to their family homes and remain in the land of Moab. However, Ruth, who by that time has already been saved due to Naomi's witness and her faithful testimony, trumps Naomi's authority. She goes over Naomi's authority's head. She knows enough that she appeals to Yahweh, to God, and goes over Naomi's head. Well, so we've seen that. So notice then, in this case, Elimelech's dead, and so Naomi is the matriarch and acting head of the family. As such, the child is presented to her. Right? Okay, so now we've straightened that out. So did that change your life? Did you learn something phenomenal that you'll never forget about God? No, you didn't. And if you did, there's probably something wrong with you. You really need to get out more, okay? But what did happen here is you're now in sync with the author and in the scene that he's putting before you. You now understand what's going on, the legal and binding nature of what's going on, its importance, the conglomeration or the agreement of the whole town with it. You now understand, and so you're in a position now to hear what the author is saying and why he's saying it to you. We now are clear, we're on the same page, and we're ready to go forward. Listen. Then the woman said to my pleasant one, blessed is Yahweh who has not left you without a family redeemer today. Next, notice what the women say to Naomi. They begin by saying, blessed is Yahweh. Now, this is so important. In a book that is all about names, as the women come out with the child, they come out praising God who has brought this child about. This is the work of God in a unique and special way. That what God has done is phenomenal. And so they come out giving credit to God because it is by God's hand that this has happened. Blessed is Yahweh who has done all of this. Notice the result. In their arms and on their voices is the theology of the entire book. In other words, the child they hold is a concrete, is a tangible demonstration. This is not abstract theology. This is not theology that's way off somewhere else into some other time. This isn't theology that's just wishful thinking or something that you read about that always seems to happen to everybody else but you. This is concrete and tangible. This is something that you can see, that you can hold, that you can hear. Okay? The child that they hold is a concrete, tangible demonstration of God's deliverance, His care, and His provision for the future that He has promised to His people. Simply put, in this child, all the great themes of the book converge. It is this child, all the things that we've heard about God's deliverance and his care for Naomi and Ruth. Here's the child that's bringing that about. Everything that we've heard about the redemption of a line, here's the child that will redeem that line. Everything that we've heard about God, about God's faithful witness to the future that God has promised to his people, here's the child that's carrying us into that future. In this moment, in this child, and on the women's voice and their blessing, is all of the great themes of the book converge. As such, the women's joy not only reflects Naomi's joy, it is also to guide the reader's response to all that God has done in the account. And so, especially if you think about it, as the book is making the case for David, the original audience, it would have been, hey, we're to recognize, we're to see, and just like these women, we are to rejoice and embrace and accept this king that God has brought about through all these marvelous events. We are to share in the joy and wonder of these events. However, for all the readers, both then and now, at the same time, the author fully intends the women's blessing to prepare us. Why is the author showing us this? Why is the author including this? He intends it to do two things: to prepare us to see something amazing about the heart of God, and to see something amazing about God's purpose in what he has done in bringing about these events. So why God has done it, his heart, his love, and what he is doing, okay? What he intends to bring about. So this blessing, we're allowed to hear because it's going to show us all those things. Then the women said, "Blessed is Yahweh who has not left you without a family redeemer today." Next, notice specifically why the women praise God. They say that God is to be praised because he has not left Naomi without a family redeemer. However, notice the surprise. The women are not talking about Boaz. Now, we would think when we hear the redeemer, well, that's going to be the kinsman redeemer. But again, notice how conspicuously the author has said Naomi and Ruth's part in this work. That's done. Okay? The focus now is on Naomi. And so when they say this, they're not talking about Boaz. Instead, they're talking about the child that God has given to Naomi, that God has blessed Naomi with. Notice in the scene, as the women walk out carrying the just-born baby, they say, "Today, God has not left you without a redeemer." They don't say 9 months ago when the child was conceived. They don't say back at Boaz and Ruth's wedding. They don't point back to the city gate when Boaz agreed to be the redeemer. It is as they carry out the child that has just been born, they say today that everything God has promised, he has done. Why? It is this child who will carry forward and preserve, who will carry forward and redeem the line and the house of Elimelech. Now, this is important because notice what the women's blessings show us about the heart of God. Remember, we said we get to listen in because it's going to show us two things, the heart and the purpose of God. So notice what it shows us about the heart of God. First, the women, as the women hand the child to a gleaming Naomi, they place in her arms the divine confirmation that her faith and her plan were indeed pleasing to Yahweh. What God has blessed, God has accomplished. Naomi is indeed God's pleasant one, pleasing to God. And in her arms, she has that confirmation. God has brought about what God has commanded. In other words, God never forsook Naomi. And even when she could not see it, his hand was at work in her life, in her situation. Not only that, it is this picture that is one of the main pictures that you are to carry with you into your everyday life. That when, like Naomi, you can't track God's hand, you don't understand what he's doing, you can't see him at work in your life, it seems hard for no reason. Just like Naomi, God has not forsaken you. Even when you can't see it, his hand is at work. And so, therefore, the way through or the way out of any situation is always trust and faithfulness. It is always to head through towards God, because the pathway that God has you on as you are following Him is always a pathway that leads out. It's not always an easy pathway. But like Naomi, and this is a picture that we're supposed to take, God has not forsaken her, and He does not forsake you, even when we cannot see it. Next, the second thing the blessing shows us about the heart of God centers on the author's change in focus to Naomi. Why is the author just focusing right on Naomi? Well, notice then, even though Boaz and Ruth's part in the account is fulfilled, remember, we won't see them again throughout the entire book. And even though everything is set in place for the royal line and glorious king, in other words, even though everything that needed to be accomplished in the account for God's purpose to move forward, for the rest of your Bible to unfold, even though that has all been accomplished, the book doesn't end. Instead, the author turns our attention to Naomi. Why? Because God has not forgotten her, and therefore He is not going to let you forget her. In other words, Naomi, now listen, this is the point. In other words, Naomi is not overshadowed or pushed aside for the bigger and more grandiose works of God's kingdom. Instead, God does not allow us to leave the book of Ruth until we have seen His love and care for Naomi. And this is so important, because in the same way, God never loses sight of you. He never regards you as somehow insignificant or less important. He never regards what you face as trivial, like He doesn't have time. Instead, like Naomi, you and every one of His children, however great or small, are precious in His sight. And that's incredible. So you think about it, when we think about all the grand folks, all the big things that God has done in Scripture, apostles, a Messiah, kings, prophets, all these great things that have happened, I want you to remember that every single one of them, all of this grandiose kingdom work was done for you and for me and for ordinary folks just like us and Naomi. That all God's kingdom work was done to establish a kingdom that we inherit, that we will be a part of. And so in this, we are, as we watch Naomi, we're immediately reminded of something that's significant to us. That's why the author is not letting us leave the book. Even though the big things are done, he needs us to remember that this heart of God towards Naomi is the very heart of God that is towards you. God never loses sight of you. He didn't lose sight of her. God never moves on to bigger and better things. He's never too busy. It's not that your life doesn't matter or, oh, this isn't a big deal. Okay? He never loses sight of you. And He never fails you or forsakes you. But rather, His hand is always at work. And so we trust and follow Him. Listen. Indeed, may His name be proclaimed in Israel. Next, notice what this blessing tells us about God's purpose for all that He has done. It shows us His heart, now it's going to show us His purpose. The women go on to say, may His name be proclaimed in Israel. In other words, as the women approach the gleaming Naomi with the child, they bless the child in the hearing of all. They don't whisper this in her ear. This is something they're saying to everyone. And by the Holy Spirit, and through the pages of Scripture, we're allowed to listen in and hear it as well. Notice they bless the child in the hearing of all. And this is so important. Why? Because in a book that is all about the future, the women's blessing points our eyes ahead to that future. As such, they ask God to bless the child throughout his life. That's future. To make His name great or famous, worthy of praise. May His name be. This is future. And so all of a sudden, the women are pointing our eyes ahead to what God is going to do. And what God is going to do through this is not going to be a small matter. However, please note the extent of this blessing. The women don't simply ask that God would build up Elimelech's line through this child, making it well known and respected in Bethlehem. They don't even merely ask that Elimelech's line would be well known and respected in Judah. Instead, they ask God to make his name great in all of Israel. Notice then the prophecy. Notice then the divine foreshadowing. They probably don't even know they're doing it, but God is speaking and using this blessing as an opportunity. Notice the divine foreshadowing that this blessing represents. As the author builds his case for the Davidic kingship, the women's blessing anticipates the way that God will establish the line or the house of this child in order to unite his whole people, both Judah and Israel, both the northern and the southern portions of his kingdom, to unite his whole people under the king brought about by these very events. In other words, what God has done through these events, he has done for his whole entire people. Again, God doesn't lose sight of us and only focus on a few. Instead, God always has you and me in his sights. Bottom line, as Naomi's eyes well up with tears, as her emotions fight between the joy of God's great love for her and the joy of a healthy child, she's crying. She's not sure why she's crying. And all of these things are going on in her head. And as that's going on, there's not a dry eye in the room. Instead, all stand in awe at God's goodness to his people and what God has done in their very midst. They may not understand how it's all going to work out, but they know that God has done amazing things. They've seen God's hand in the salvation of Ruth. They've seen God's hand in his bringing Naomi home. They've seen this, and they've seen the phenomenal way that a woman who was destitute holds now a child who legally is her son, who will redeem her family's line. However, the women aren't finished with their blessing, and neither is the author finished showing you and me God's amazing faithfulness to ordinary folks, just like you and me and Naomi. Amen?